To take this station with you wherever you go, download the Radio.com app today and listen to this station and over 300 other stations. With the Radio.com app, you can favorite your top stations for easy access and receive alerts with breaking news, contest opportunities, and more. To favorite a station, just click on the heart icon in the upper left-hand corner of your favorite station's logo. Go to your app store or radio.com/download and start listening today. Radio.com.
The Bulls may be interested in making some front office changes. Joe Cowley had the report yesterday. He's on the show in 1 minute on The Score.
The Chicago Cubs will once again offer the online MasterCard presale starting Tuesday at noon through Wednesday night at 11:59 p.m.
It could not possibly get any louder than it is right now.
Fans using a MasterCard can buy single-game tickets in advance of the general on sale at a 15% premium.
What an amazing atmosphere.
While fans using other forms of payment may purchase tickets at a 20% premium.
They said Cubs win!
MasterCard presale tickets can be purchased at Cubs.com. Restrictions apply. Visit Cubs.com/MCPresale for full details.
I had no tangible evidence that my dad killed anyone.
What April Bellaccio did have was a feeling.
Let me ask you, how many people do you know that have been murdered?
None.
Well, everywhere I went, people that we knew or associated with were being murdered.
I'm Josh Dean. For the last 3 years, I've been following April, trying to make sense of what her father did and what else he may have done.
We know for a fact that they're both here and they're both there.
Well, nearly identical murders.
Nearly identical murders occur.
And he still had his arm raised like he never lowered the gun.
It's a true crime story that's also about our obsession with true crime and the mythic monsters we create.
I believe that my dad was consumed with the Zodiac, but I can look you in the eye and tell you he did not kill JonBenet.
I know, nobody likes that one.
The Clearing, from Pineapple Street Media, in association with Gimlet.
The Clearing is available now for free on the Radio.com app.
Broadcasting live from the Hyundai Studios, this is Chicago's number one and most listened to sports station. Sports Radio 670 The Score, our Radio.com sports station, WSCR and HD Chicago, WBMX HD2 Chicago. The
Score! This hour is brought to you by Cars for Kids. Call 1-877-CARS with a K, the numeral 4-KIDS.
The Bernstein and McKnight Show.
I love Chicago.
What about Cleveland?
I love Cleveland, but I'm never going to see the Cavaliers again because of the Cavaliers. Like, oh, just for the record, this is the last time we ever come to Chicago, too.
Why?
Because the Bulls stink.
At any rate.
Middays on The Score.
Come on, Ernie. He's not wrong.
He's not.
Top of the hour is brought to you by the Chicago Wolves. Does your youth hockey team want to play in front of thousands? Make it happen with the Chicago Wolves Youth Hockey Program presented by Kia. Visit chicagowolves.com/youth hockey to learn more. Joe Cowley is on Twitter at jcowleyhoops. He of the Sun-Times Bulls beat is on the Alpamonte Ford hotline. Alpamonte Ford in Melrose Park. So as there was real basketball being played, we got news, Joe, from you that the Bulls are kind of, sort of, maybe trying to commit to playing some real basketball themselves by getting a new set of eyes on the franchise. What's the latest that we know about the efforts?
Yeah, I mean, you know, look, I heard you guys talking earlier, and this just didn't start this weekend. I mean, you know, to me, it traces back to late November in what I thought was the final straw. I wrote the story that there were some former players I rate on Luol Deng's night that they brought him to the United Center, that Gar Forman was just acting aloof to these guys that kind of, you know, sweat and in their eyes, blood all over the court. And, you know, the guys like Nola and stuff like that. That got back to Jerry Reinsdorf, and we all know how much Jerry Reinsdorf covets loyalty, and that means some players too.
You know, Joe, we're having a little problem with the quality of the phone line now, so I'm going to put you on hold. We're going to see if we can reestablish and get a little bit clearer line.
Yeah, so Joe had been talking a little bit about what happened on Luol Deng's night and Gar Forman being aloof and kind of unconnected to some of the players that he helped, you know, put together and sign and scout and whatnot. And we'll talk with Joe a little bit here, and while I do understand that this hopefully has been going on for a little while, I think part of the conversation here is, why do you wait for everyone to come to your city to have these conversations? If it's been simmering for a while, what sort of catalyst, if any, was what happened on ESPN's First Take. What sort of catalyst, if any, were conversations going around that you heard down the hallway about, hey, it's great to be here, what a great place. I just wish the basketball team here was any good at all. You know what I mean? That stuff seems part and parcel for what's going on.
How much of this, Joe, has been catalyzed by negative attention the Bulls have been receiving publicly?
Well, that room is as tone deaf as it comes. I don't think it's the booing from Friday and stuff. This is just a realization that the plan that was put out, the whole rebuild and where they thought it would be, the tires have totally fallen off. And they need to rethink things and have a different voice in that room. Different, you know, it can't just be the same ideas and the same thoughts and the same safe draft picks year after year. So I don't think they're making Gar Foreman the scapegoat. I think there is a self-realization of looking in the mirror and understanding we just can't bring in a guy that's just going to do what we tell him the way we've done things. So I think they are honestly trying to find a guy that has a loud voice, has some respect, and up and come. And look, I mean, if they missed out, to me, for the ultimate hire would have been Trajan Langdon. That was the guy that I think they missed out on, and I wrote that last year, but that was the guy they should have been coveting, and sure enough, New Orleans grabbed him as soon as Griff was given that president's job. So they know that this rebuild has gone off the wires, and they need to fix it. They don't care what the fans or what the media say. I mean, this is a Jerry Reinsdorf production, and when does Jerry actually care about what media pressure there is or what fan pressure there is? Butts in the seat matter to him somewhat, but at the same time, he's not gonna jump just because the media is telling him he better jump.
Yeah, Joe, I think we're going to try again to get some kind of better connection here because we're having trouble a little bit with the phone line here. So we'll see if we can get that improved at this point. Yeah, it just to me, this all seems like we're talking about something that isn't enough. That if you're going to do this, that you hear the term president in there, and like yes, president. Empowered president, somebody to come in and say, I don't need John Paxson saying a word to me. I don't need that. I don't need Doug Collins or Jim Paxson or anybody. This is how we're going to do this now. He needs someone in charge of the basketball operation. It's if you got Michael Reinsdorf going to John Paxson saying, who should we hire to make you less powerful? Come on. That's not how this works.
No, and I can only hope that in conversations with whomever they talked with around the league and trying to get a level set or a temperature check for their own franchise, which think about that for a second. You got to wait until, or you got to use an event that brings everybody to you to figure out what they think about you and how set they would be in coming over here for all the kinds of shadowy influence that you're talking about. That's not great. But if you ask those questions, I would presume that you're going to get some responses that aren't just, yeah, I could do this job and I could work with John and I could work with Gar. I assume that you're going to get some conversation that's going to go a little bit the length of things need to change. You can't keep doing things this way. If I came here, here's how I'd start. If you're asking the right people, if you're asking anybody in the NBA and in front offices that have that kind of lead dog mentality, that kind of idea of here's how I want to take a franchise, then you're going to get some responses you might not like, which might be the ones you want to answer and listen to anyway.
That's the indication. That's what you're looking for. That's what you have to do. I don't understand why somebody would just think, well, you know, because this structure's been in place and because these guys have always worked here, therefore we have to keep doing what we're doing. Show me evidence of a team that has been able to change, to move itself into a new time. The sport has evolved so rapidly.
Yeah.
That this is the equivalent of the Jim Hendry Cubs front office. That was steak dinner boom. And that was all these old scouts have been in these rooms, in this old building, doing what they've been doing for such a long time. And you've heard the stories mm-hmm. of what the new regime thought when they did their interviews, when they walked through, when they literally saw how few people were doing certain jobs, how few servers were being deployed, how much space and how much bandwidth and how much everything they had. It's like, no,
parts of
no.
the scouting department being in an actual broom closet,
yeah.
Like an actual with pipes and water and brooms and stuff. I thought you were going to say, you know, you've heard the stories about the Kings laughing at the Bulls for a two-a-day practice and just a little bit of mutiny that started, or stories about how anybody has addressed this franchise over the last year and a half. I thought you were going to talk about how they've probably heard stories about Chance and Common sitting there during the dunk contest, the three-point contest that night, and being asked what they thought about the Bulls, and both of them clamming up, saying nothing, because they didn't want to break bad on the guys. And finally, it took them 2 or 3 minutes, but finally, it's, well, I got to give credit to Zach LaVine. He's having a hell of a night. He's having a hell of a season. We love Zach so much. Like, it took minutes to get to that. Those are the kind of stories that I think should affect this front office and exactly and the organization as a whole, because it tells you what those who matter think about the way you're doing things.
You obviously are going to wait to make a move on Boylan until you get somebody else in here above him. I understand that, but have you seen the reports that John Beilein is already pretty much done in Cleveland and it's just a matter of time?
I read that he's considering resignation, yeah.
Well, it's obviously done in Cleveland. It's just a matter of how it works and how long, if he wants to finish this year, and what the severance negotiation may be. But that didn't work. And if they are then on to their next guy and their next staff sooner rather than later, I'm wondering when you are better served. Maybe you promote Chris Fleming and you move on, which will let you know that we're gonna double back and try Cowley a little bit later in the show, because we're just continuing to have problems with how audible that phone line is.
We'll call him back. I think you keep Jim Boylan for the rest of the year because I think it gets you closer to a better draft pick. I mean, who is on this team whose relationship is at a point where it can be rescued with Jim Boylan? Let's ask ourselves that question.
Well, Wendell Carter says he is, but I don't know if he's just saying it.
Wendell Carter has found a way to man up and say the best possible thing, even in the toughest time.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that's part of Wendell Carter's superpower. I think he's able to do that and suck it up and say what needs to be said in a lot of instances. And for that, I give him a lot of credit. Whether I believe him is another thing altogether. I mean, we saw what happened last season. You know, I mean, we saw the phone calls work. We saw the practices didn't work. We saw how he installed. There's an actual time punch clock on the wall. I assume it's still there and no one's kicked the thing off its moorings. I assume somebody is still checking in, and it's probably just Ryan Arcidiacono, but the thing still exists, and that's not a way to connect with players.
Do we actually know how quickly it got ignored? And we were joking.
We've been asking.
That it's only Ryan Arcidiacono.
I want to know.
That one time card.
Well, Adam McCoke is punching in now, too.
Right?
I mean, he's got to be punching in his time. That absolutely happens. I'm sure there's one more guy who goes by every once in a while and ironically punches it. You know, just goes in, hits the card, walks out.
I think that your theory about why to keep Jim Boylan around just because you're likely to lose more games between now and then, I don't think there's enough games left.
Probably not.
For Jim Boylan to make that much of a difference.
Probably not.
I think that's probably baked in now, and you might be better letting Chris Fleming have at it for the remainder of the year.
Well, here's the other thing, though. You have, as an organization, doubled down on Jim Boylan. And you've probably done that a couple of times, really. We might be at a tripling or even a quadrupling down. You're bringing in the new guy.
Yeah, the guy who did that. The guy who did that doubling and tripling down, you're now letting the world know is about to be less significant or certainly less visible in the organization.
The new guy's got to be the guy fires him. I mean, that's just the perspective that they're giving you here when you're talking about keeping John Paxson around the front office, keeping Gar Foreman in a scouting role. This new guy, if nothing else, it feels like this new guy is being brought in so that he can be the one in front of a microphone making the determination that Jim Boylan is not our coach and he doesn't have to impugn John Paxson's decisions. He doesn't have to look at Gar Foreman and say, you've made some wrong draft choices here. He can come in there and say, this is all part of doing it my way. Boylan has to go, and he's got the greatest cover you could possibly walk under because firing that coach is going to be palatable to every single person around the NBA.
Yeah, that's such an easy one, though.
Of course it is.
That
they're looking for layups. This is an organization obsessed with looking for layups at this point.
You got to be shooting threes.
Well, I mean, the layup is still technically the most efficient shot in the game.
Correct. It's only worth two, though.
You're looking for layups.
However, it is the most efficient shot
that's
in
true.
The game.
Fine. You're looking for layups.
That's the other thing is You can say the three, but that's also kind of distorting things a little bit because still, the most efficient shot in the game is a dunk or a layup.
They're looking
that
for layups.
Have to be stated.
Down 22.
That is the most efficient shot.
Yeah, but he was using it metaphorically.
I know.
Yeah.
They're also, looking for layups down.
Only two games away from the four spot in Tankathon.
Is that right?
So, yeah.
Oh, God, right, it's now another season.
They're seven games away from the first pick.
Well, the four spot is that matters, right? Because that gets you in the different grouping.
Right. Nice so grouping. In theory, now there's some crap that they'd have to be crappier than to get to that spot.
So much crap.
But they are right now at a 26.3% chance for a top four pick and a 6% chance for number one. You got to go through Charlotte, Detroit, New York, and Minnesota to get there. So good luck with that, even with your really tough schedule. But if they were able to get up to number four, you'd have a 48% chance at the top four pick and a 12.5% chance at number one.
In a draft that is full of meh.
Yeah, pretty much.
Yeah, okay, good. Great, excellent.
Right,
it's super.
I mean, it's not like it's bad, but like
you're not going to get
the dude.
Not this year.
No, there were two dudes last year. There's at least it sure doesn't seem like there's a dude this year.
Or a handful of dudes 2 years ago.
Yeah, well, two last year, a handful the year before, and...
Oh, and
yeah.
Oh, by the way, everybody with the Michael Porter Jr. stuff, he's missed like the last six or seven games again, and
right.
He's just always hurt.
Wow.
He looks solid when he's in there, but he's always hurt. It's a guy, I'm telling you, the name everybody should be mad about more than anything. Look at Shea Gilgeous-Alexander, who went
good.
After.
God, he's really good.
And he needed some time to develop. He needed some time to figure out exactly how to run that floor.
I mean, barely, though. He was good with the Clippers last year.
I just mean in terms of the decision-making, the kinds of decision-making processes that don't go on with Zach LaVine that people knock him for, I think Shea has needed some time to figure those kinds of things out in a similar way.
Yeah, that's fair.
Not necessarily talent or skill set.
And I still think Wendell Carter still has a pretty high ceiling, too.
So I know, but he's got to be on the floor.
I want to see Wendell Carter look like he looked when he walked onto the floor. When before he got Boylan, you know, before they confused him with where he's supposed to go.
Remember
and
when?
And
I
when,
agree.
And when to look at the basket. And I liked original, like, you know, factory defaults, reset him and say, just forget all of this stuff that's happened. Forget everything you've been told. Go back to what you were.
Which would be a reason to get rid of Boylan now.
Yes.
Regardless of whoever, if it's Fleming or Roy Rogers or whoever.
Oh, listen, I'm fine with it. I mean, if we want to take shifts down there and go coach, I'm fine with that too. I just, you know, at this point, it's already busted up. I mean, at this point, if you're already mulling changes in the front office, if you're already asking around for, hey, you got a name, you got a business card, a phone number that we can go call, see if he's interested in taking a job with all kinds of strings attached, then you've already destroyed what you might have salvaged the rest of this year.
And with that, coming up next, we're going to give away a pair of tickets to see the Bulls and the Hornets February 20th. So you got to be listening if you want to win those. Also, over the weekend, a bunch of big-name Cubs making news.
Oh, yeah.
All kinds of news. And we had this recurring theme, whether it was Wilson Contreras last year, the stuff we played just several days ago from Albert Almora and what he was discussing about his approach to his job. Well, guess what? There's more. If you haven't heard from Javier Baez and him taking some accountability and some ownership for some of the Cubs' recent problems, you're going to hear from him.
Yeah, there's more. We might not have shown up in the best way last year, and it came from one of the best players on the team. You'll hear from Javi Baez when we come back. Bernstein and McKnight on the Score.
This is Chicago's number one sports station, dominating Chicago sports talk for nearly three decades. 670 The Score is Chicago sports. Chicago sports is 670 The Score. Radio.com sports station.
Hi, it's Jamie, Progressive number one, number two employee. Leave a message at the... Hi, Jamie. It's you, Jamie. Don't hang up. You need to hear this. You gotta quit wearing that aviator jacket. Nobody's buying it. I'm sorry you have to hear it from me, but at Progressive, we're all about giving it to people straight. That's why we show our rates alongside our competitors' rates. And when you're helping people find great rates, you don't need some jacket to look cool. Just keep rocking that scarf.
Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparisons not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Babbel presents How to Speak to Animals.
That's a dog.
In Spanish, it's un perro.
He says woof.
Woof? No. Spanish dogs say wow, wow.
Wow?
Wow. More like with a G. Wow, wow.
Oh, okay. Wow.
So that's a little chick.
Aw, it's un pollito.
Chicks say chirp, chirp.
Chirp? That sounds like a low smoke detector battery. In Spanish, they say pio, pio.
Pio, 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 pio.
Sí, you do a very good pollito.
With Babbel, speak to your dog, cat, girlfriend, best friend, pretty much anyone in French, Spanish, German, and more. 150 language experts and educators designed Babbel to be the most efficient and effective way to learn a new language. It takes just 10 to 15 minutes a day to get conversational. Now, try Babbel free. Just go to Babbel.com or download the Babbel app and start learning a new language today. That's Babbel.com. Babbel.com.
Thanks for streaming The Score. Chicago Sports Radio 670.
Bernstein and McKnight, 9 a.m. to noon on The Score.
And the guy looked at me like, who are you? And I was like, oh, well, you know, Chris invited me. And they're like, oh, okay. So then I go in, I put my beer down, the people introduce themselves to me. But the house number was exactly the same. So I go in and I sit down, and these people are very nice. I'm sitting there for about 5 minutes, and I'm like, this just seems wrong. So I text Tanny. I'm like, am I at the right place? I cut my losses, I get in my car, and I go the next block over to Tanny's.
If you know someone who told you a story of a man just showing up to their Super Bowl party, please find those people. We need to talk.
I'm looking at this random guy just walking up my driveway. My little six-year-old daughter runs up to him. Hi, how are you? And he's like, hi, I'm Rick.
Listen to Bernstein and McKnight, 9 to noon, on Sports Radio 670 The Score, a radio.com sports station. Saturdays at 8 a.m., don't miss Sports Medicine Weekly. Fitness, nutrition, and injury prevention and treatments for today's weekend warrior and professional athletes. With renowned specialist of shoulders, elbows, and knees, and chief doctor for Midwest Orthopedics at Rush, Dr. Brian Cole.
I see more foot and ankle problems initially than I see any of those other categories. Foot fractures were the number one injury that was treated at Combine this year.
Sports Medicine Weekly, Saturdays at 8 a.m., here on 670 The Score.
Hey, it's your girl, Tasha Makia.
I'm Big Dave.
Big Dave is a professional bodybuilder and personal trainer, so if you're trying to change your life,
you need to check us out on our podcast,
Big Dave's Power Half Hour, where we break down everything from fitness and exercising to nutrition, supplements, and so much more.
And I tell you the real deal, I don't sugarcoat anything.
So search for Big Dave's Power Half Hour on all podcast platforms.
Or find us on radio.com.
The Chicago Cubs will once again offer the online MasterCard presale starting Tuesday at noon through Wednesday night at 11:59 p.m.
It could not possibly get any louder than it is right now.
Fans using a MasterCard can buy single game tickets in advance of the general on sale at a 15% premium.
What an amazing atmosphere.
While fans using other forms of payment may purchase tickets at a 20% premium.
Spaceship Cubs win!
MasterCard presale tickets can be purchased at Cubs.com. Restrictions apply. Visit Cubs.com/MCPresale for full details.
Do one thing to protect the environment. It all starts with just one thing. Honey is a great treat for your sweet tooth, and it can be very eco-friendly as well. So get to know your local beekeeper. Locally produced honeys have a smaller carbon footprint, and local farmers markets are a great place to find one. Make sure your beekeeper only sells surplus honey and never uses any chemicals or acids in the hive. And lastly, ask if they make any products from the beeswax, like soap and candles. It all starts with one thing. Find tips and more at onethingus.com. What's your one thing?
This is Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com. Chicago Sports Station.
Copy!
Bottom of the hour is brought to you by the Chicago Wolves. The Fan 4-Pack's a fantastic way to enjoy Chicago Wolves hockey. It's 4 tickets, 4 hot dogs, 4 sodas, 1 large popcorn for 1 low price. To get yours, visit ChicagoWolves.com. Happy President's Day. Happy Find a Seat on the Red Line Day.
I sat down on the blue line the entire way, and it was very relaxing. Yep, it was really nice.
Not have terrible traffic day, because a lot of people have this day off, or not have to make lunches for the kids day, you know, however you want to phrase it. But we are here for an extended period of time. Bernstein and McKnight will be doing our regular 9 to noon show and sitting in for Lawrence Holmes then until 2 o'clock.
Right.
So spreading out with a lot of basketball talk to start, now to some baseball.
Some housekeeping before we get to the Javi Baez cuts, which I think are absolutely fascinating and speak a lot to what the team was in 2018 and 2019. We had Joe Cowley on. It was a bad phone. We're going to reconnect with the Sun-Times Bulls beat writer a little later on. We're going to figure out his schedule. I know a lot of people were really interested in hearing from Joe Cowley and the report he has on the Bulls, potentially making some changes in the front office. We will not let you down. Joe's going to be on a little later on in the day, and as soon as we find out when that's going to work for Joe, we'll let you know. Here's what happened over the weekend at Cubs camp. Both Chris Bryant and Javi Baez talked. You're going to hear from Chris a little later on today. You're going to hear from Javi now. But a theme, it seems, of the Cubs in 2018 and 2019 was guys kind of taking a pass on some of the everyday stuff that baseball players have used for a long time to get themselves ready to roll for 162 games. Whether that was Wilson Contreras last year telling Kelly Kroll that he kind of phoned it in the second half of the season. Whether it was Albert Almora saying something very similar just last week about his preparation, mostly in the second half of the season. Or whether it's Javi Baez talking about how things worked or didn't work, about getting ready for individual games last year. This is from Javi Baez, one of the best players on the Cubs all last year.
I got to the field, and instead of going outside and hit BP, I would do everything inside, which is not the same. You know, when once I go out to the field for the game, I feel like I wasn't ready. You know, I feel like I was getting loose during the first four innings, and I should be ready and excited to get out before the first pitch. And I promise you guys that this year is going to be like that.
But wait, there's more. Javi said the optional hitting and optional BP and optional workouts kind of, I don't know, went by the wayside.
It wasn't something bad, but we have a lot of option things. Not mandatory, and everybody kind of sit back on that, even including me, because you know, I wasn't really going out there and preparing for the game. I was getting ready during the game, which is not good. But this year, I think we before the games we gotta be all everybody out there as a team, you know, and stretch as a team and be together as a team so we can play together.
First of all, his English has improved markedly.
Oh yeah.
And quickly.
Yeah.
He's and this is the level of accountability here, the honesty and the accountability first and foremost. For him to just share this stuff says a lot about where this team is right now to be, and especially in the wake of what we heard from Almora, what we heard last year from Wilson Contreras. Theo articulated all of it, every bit of it, even before last season began, about doing things as a team, about the work here. It is really easy to start painting by numbers here and filling in areas that end up with a picture of Joe Maddon not doing his job. That's not fair and not true. However, it also was past time that they have a manager with a little bit of different style. And, and for that last year of his contract, the handwriting was on the wall. They publicly said, we want Joe Maddon to be more involved. We want Joe Maddon to be more hands-on. Because they saw a guy who was talking about the artwork and the T-shirts and the restaurant and being sort of an executive manager who wasn't really being a manager. It's sort of like, you know, Bobby Bowden up in the tower at Florida State near the end with other people doing some of the work. And Joe was great with the media availabilities and the golf outing and everything else. But they made it very clear that when you give a team, and Joe was just being Joe. This isn't saying that it's good or bad, but he less is more has always been his credo. The idea of guys hit too much, guys get in their heads, guys overwork it, guys get too intense. And maybe that's true of Ian Happ. Maybe that there are some guys who are like that. But you get enough optional things, they become self-created winner's trap type stuff.
Yeah. Yeah, I suppose that's fair. And when you're asking questions about why an offense broke and you can't figure out exactly what caused it, when you're looking at the hitting with runners in scoring position, which is, you know, largely random, and that all goes away on you, you start to look at the marginal things, the things that maybe you felt like didn't matter too much, and you got to start to wonder how much it mattered. I think, too, you know, you mentioned Joe and the responsibility of a manager to, I guess, enforce some things on a baseball team. And I don't think that managing in a certain way, that managing guys to do your own work, to be accountable for your own job, and putting that on players is a bad way to manage. It clearly wasn't the way to manage this team. And that's where you see the difference.
I want to replay again what Baez said, the first comments you heard about how, about his approach and about how he worked his way into games slowly because he was doing stuff on his own. And then there's a question there to be asked about managerial responsibility.
I got to the field and instead of going outside and hey BP, I would do everything inside, which is not the same. You know, when once I go out to the field for the game, I feel like I wasn't ready. You know, I feel like I was getting loose during the first four innings, and I should be ready and excited to get out before the first pitch. And I promise you guys that this year is going to be like that.
The first four innings, that's half the game. Getting loose for just half the game.
Yeah.
The question is, what is a manager expected to intuit as this is going on? Because what I hope my manager can do is recognize this and do something about it. It shouldn't be after the fact. We shouldn't be sitting here in the middle of February and have one of the most dynamic players in baseball saying that it took him half the game to get comfortable because he wasn't doing the work. Where are the coaches? Where's anybody? Where are Theo and Jed in this? If they're saying that they're going to be closer to the clubhouse and they're going to be more involved in, see, where is this? How is it allowed to happen that all of these eyes, that all of this structure, that all these people involved cannot know this is going on and not intervene? Because when somebody that important in the prime of his career,
yeah,
is slacking and has admitted to it and says, now I'm done slacking. When Albert Almora admits it, when Wilson Contreras admits it, it shouldn't be now. It should be, hey, you know, I'm realizing that it's kind of taking you a while to get, you know, ease your way into some of these games.
Right.
But these games could be decided in the first inning. We could have a high leverage moment beyond our control in the second inning. And you're kind of not ready.
Yeah.
They've got to notice these things.
They do. I think it's hard to notice those things when you've got a guy going for 11.2 offensive wins above replacement. When you got a guy at a 4-4 season altogether. When you got a guy who's slugging 530 all year long. It's harder to pick up in guys that are already doing a really good job. Here's another thing, and it's I don't love that I'm smelling this right now, right? I don't love that I'm picking this up to a certain degree, but I am, so I'll share it. When you have a team like this that's been together and consistent for, let's call it 3 years, because it'll be a third season. If Chris Bryant gets traded, then we can start changing the conversation. When you have a team like this and you make a big change, like Joe Maddon at manager, then David Ross comes in and you're going to have your conversations in camp. You're going to have your team-only meetings. You're going to have your player work, all that kind of stuff. And the things that are going to be talked about are the things that you're hoping to change. David Ross talking about more team exercises and team hitting and being accountable and mandatory BP and all this kind of conversation. Sure, that's helpful. But when you start to talk about it over and over and over again, it starts to bleed into the consciousness of these players.
Hmm. You talk it into existence?
Javi could be, I mean, are we crazy to think that Javi could be wrong? That he's just, that the perception is, I didn't do it, therefore I wasn't good? He was good. And if you take a look at some of the production, smarter guys than I have done it, but the first couple innings were fine for the Cubs. It was late with runners in scoring position or all the stuff we talk about, you know, with Chris Bryant not getting runners in, all that kind of conversation. I'm saying that the Cubs, by doing nothing this offseason, have made the conversation all about one thing on the field, and that's David Ross and his improvements to team culture, team morale, and team batting practice. And I'm sorry, but I've seen too many baseball teams that have gone through with individual players, that have gone through with guys that get their work in and still succeeded. It is one thing to be Joe Maddon and tell this team over and over again, your work is on you. Show up and hit when you need to. Hit now, don't hit now. I don't care. It's American Legion Week. It's one thing to blame Joe for not managing the club he had in front of him. I think the most important thing for a coach, whether it's a manager in baseball, whether it's Matt Nagy there with the Bears, is identifying how to get the best out of the talent that you have. And I find it inexcusable for a manager or a coach to leave some of that stuff by the wayside. However, when the only conversation all offseason long is how we have to be us better, how we have to be together more, it's impossible that that doesn't leak into these baseball, these guys' minds.
I don't think we can divorce the comments of Theo Epstein from this, because he sets the tone.
Nor would I.
He sets the tone in consecutive seasons for things that he said. And the question that that raises, if you're saying, is Javi wrong? Where Theo Epstein says, I drafted these players. I saw the potential in these players. I know how good they can be. And then they're not. And then he talks about focus and preparation and doing the work. Is he wrong? You know, if all this, as long as we're going to ask existential questions here that can never be answered,
I think you have to.
Is he just seeing things in the players that he believes is there, that whether it's Joe Maddon or David Ross, maybe just isn't there? And maybe some of these guys are as good as they are showing you that they are. And even if they work and work and work and put it all in, that this is just what it is. That's possible too. And we won't get any answers there. I'm also mindful of what they literally built around these players. And that is a workspace that asked for this to happen. A workspace that created more places for them to be individuals. That created, rather than, and I don't want to get into interior design and feng shui because I don't know enough about it, whether you're talking about
that's why
sociopital space versus sociofugal space.
Don't know what those
are. It's the idea of, are you building areas that are designed, and people talk about this all the time, you know, the Silicon Valley stuff about workspaces, and are you encouraging sharing of ideas? Are you encouraging or discouraging collaboration based on the way it's worked out? When you give them in their actual dugout, you give them a hiding area. You give them that extra spot where they can't pick up on cameras, where you can just go kind of hang out and you don't have to be at the top step of the dugout.
Yeah.
And what the cumulative effect is on all of that, on the one hand, you're rewarding them and making them happy and comfortable. And on the other hand, you're making them comfortable. And that's, you're going to fall into habits.
It erodes over time.
That make you comfortable. And that's where you got to have eyes on it. That's where you got to have people saying, you know what, maybe we'll do a little less of this and maybe a little more of this. And it got to the point where Maddon wasn't the guy to do that. Yet you're right. Have they gone on and made some sort of free agent splash or, you know, signed Chris Bryant to a contract extension? Maybe people aren't concentrating on all of the unquantifiable.
Well, that's just what the conversation is in camp. That's what the guiding light is throughout all of Cubs camp, it seems so far, is this idea that we can do us better. You know, we can have a better us, therefore we'll all be better. This broken offense that existed is because of our own practices. And it has to be because Nick Castellanos didn't come back, because Steven Souza ain't Nick Castellanos. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's still on the guys that broke. Therefore, their practices must be better. Therefore, David Ross.
Bobby in Saginaw, you're on Bernstein and McKnight on the Score.
Hey, boys, happy baseball season.
To you as well.
You know, I find this conversation pretty interesting, and I think you're hitting it on the head, Connor, with it really is all there is to talk about, because there's nothing new about the Cubs, so you keep revisiting these things. And the problem I have with the preparation comments, well, not the problem, because they're just speaking their minds, right? But I do think there is a bit of talking this into existence, because statistically, this isn't, the numbers don't bear this lack of preparation to be true. I mean, Anthony Rizzo, Wilson Contreras, Kyle Schwarber, they all had their best OPS last season. Baez, KB, they had good seasons statistically. And, you know, even Theo has talked about, if you look at the metrics, this is more of a 90-win team last year than an 84, 85-win team. And It just really hits home with me that there's not much new to talk about. So they're continuing to drive home certain unquantifiable things to point to the one big change, which is the manager. And, you know, I played ball most of my life and had a cup of coffee in rookie league, independent ball. Things become way more individualized the higher up you go. And I'm really interested to see how this works out, because over 162 and over multiple seasons, feel like ideologically I lean towards the side of Joe Maddon, you know, trust the players to get themselves ready. So it'll be interesting to see, you know, if there are any tangible changes, because again, statistically, these guys had good seasons producing. So you could talk about, you know, getting ready to play every game, but you know, I'm just curious to where the narrative of this team will go. I mean, April and May is going to really swing what we talk about, because if they're playing well, then, you know, they're really going to hammer home this lack of preparation, Joe Maddon thing. If they're not, you know, the team is, we'll see. I mean, they're treading water. So it'll be interesting. But I find this whole conversation very fascinating because these guys produced well last year.
Yeah, good stuff as always,
yeah.
Bobby.
Thanks, Bobby. Appreciate that. I was reading somewhere, I'm going to get the exact numbers wrong, but what essentially Dan Zimborski, we had on the show last week, the core was fine last year. It produced above average base runs. The expected total of production that you got out of the core, you know, those five guys that we talk about all the time, was fine, better than average. If you look around other core five guys, you're looking at kind of playoff kind of stuff. The rest of the offense was 50 runs underwater.
That's amazing. Yep.
The rest of the offense was hot garbage. So hot you can't get close to it. The kind of garbage that infects everything around it. That's how bad the rest of the team was. So when you have conversations about what this team can be going forward, and you look at these core five guys, the guys that have produced pretty well each of the last three seasons, even if there's been some ups and downs and the team hasn't made it, the offense broke for a month, those guys have been good, then you look to other things. And if you're financially handcuffed with what you can do with those other things, you're damn right you got to change the conversation, because you can't talk about the guy you added.
Give me a number, please.
7.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7.
Caller 7 of the contest line, 312-591-6700, wins a pair of tickets to see the Bulls and Charlotte February 20th, courtesy of 670 The Score, the official radio home of the Bulls. Even though we're on until 2 o'clock today, the midday midway comes up next. I have good news for you if you are a wine drinker.
Okay.
And I have the Icelandic Penis Museum.
Oh, fantastic. They do it right up there, don't they? They know how to make a penis museum. Midday Midway's on the way. Bernstein McKnight on the score.
Thanks for keeping us the number one sports station in Chicago. This is Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com. Chicago Sports Station.
Hi, it's Jamie, Progressive number one, number two employee. Leave a message at the...
Hi, Jamie. It's you, Jamie. Don't hang up. You need to hear this. You gotta quit wearing that aviator jacket. Nobody's buying it. I'm sorry you have to hear it from me, but at Progressive, we're all about giving it to people straight. That's why we show our rates alongside our competitors' rates. And when you're helping people find great rates, you don't need some jacket to look cool. Just keep rocking that scarf.
Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparisons not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Thanks for streaming The Score.
McNeil and Parkins. Afternoons 2 to 6 on The Score.
We're talking to Mark Grace here. Can I ask, like, what is your side of the story? Because I was actually at the game in 01 when you were with the Diamondbacks and you came back and you played at Wrigley and there was a huge standing ovation for you. There was never really an issue with Mark Grace and Cubs fans. So I don't really understand what happened between you and the organization.
Let's just put it this way. When we're younger, we all think we're probably better than we actually are or something like that. I just know this, that after 13 years of playing with the Chicago Cubs, I wanted to be a Cub for life. I wanted to be a Cub for life, and unfortunately for me, you know, I'm not the one making that decision.
Listen to McNeil and Parkins on your ride home 2 to 6 on Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com, a radio.com sports station.
Thanks for streaming The Score.
Listen to Lawrence Holmes weekdays noon to 2 on The Score.
Joe Maddon, what can players and fans expect from David Ross as the manager of the Cubs?
A lot like he was as a player. David's going to be the same, and that's the beauty of it. David's not going to change. That's the one piece of advice I did give to him, because he needs to manage like he played. And if he does that, he's going to be just fine.
Lawrence Holmes, noon to 2 on Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com, a radio.com sports station.
Hi, this is former NFL quarterback Gus Frerotte, and I'd like to invite you to listen to my new podcast, Huddle Up with Gus, where my co-host Dave and I interview our guests about how sports shaped their lives. Jump in the huddle to find out what famous sports writer got caught stealing avocados, how an NFL legend had to convince his mom to let him play peewee football, or how a supermodel became a beach volleyball star. We all know the best stories are told in the huddle. Join Huddle Up with Gus, a radio.com original podcast at radio.com or on the new radio.com app.
This is a test of the emergency alert system. Is a coordinated monthly test of the broadcast stations in your area. Equipment that can quickly warn you during emergencies is being tested. If this had been an actual emergency, official messages would have followed the alert tone. The SCORE serves the Northeast Illinois EAS local area. This concludes this test of the emergency alert system.
This is Sports Radio 670 The SCORE and 670thescore.com, Chicago Sports Station.
First half or the second half, you know, it's they're two equal times.
Now, Midway.
The Midday Midway.
One, two.
Midway, the most important of the year.
Three, four.
The most exciting thing on the Midway.
Five, six, seven, eight.
Our objective is Midway.
9, 10.
You guys gotta meet me halfway out there.
So real, you can almost feel
the Midday Midway with Bernstein and McKnight on the SCORE.
Talked a lot of basketball to start. We enjoy. Enjoyed. I don't know. I guess
we enjoyed
replaying Chaka Khan's national anthem. That was really, really bad. Fergie was bad, and Carl Lewis was bad, and Steven Tyler was bad, and Coco Taylor was bad. But this is.
Oh, I forgot about Steven Tyler.
Yeah, that was bad.
It's like a Pats game or something, the Patriots AFC game.
Yeah, and then we were kind of reminded he didn't have a voice anymore. Right?
And he looks like an old woman.
And he can't sing anymore. That kind of stand in his way.
Yeah, that was rough.
But we enjoyed that. We talked about the game and the Elam ending and realized that, that Michael Jordan apparently just didn't want the aggravation of being all that involved. He could have been if he wanted to be, but didn't. So he ceded the floor to Magic Johnson, even though it was great. It was the United Center.
Which was great. Common was great. Chance was great. Magic was great. The whole thing worked out well. But there was a space there, a Michael Jordan-sized space, that could have been used.
Played some cuts from John Hollinger talking about who the next round of hires might be for NBA executives now that the Bulls have made it clear that they're going to hire an executive, but apparently John Paxson is going to be involved in hiring the person that is going to be taking some of his nominal power, and it's all an endless cycle of meaningless activity unless you hire a president of basketball operations to come in and move all the furniture around however he or she sees fit.
This from the Post, and you know I love it so much. Britain's royal family has faced yet another embarrassment, with its official website sending people to the wrong place. Royal.uk opens with a photo of a smiling Queen Elizabeth II next to her husband, Prince Philip, proudly declaring itself the home of the royal family and showcasing all the leading family members. It also links to charities, getting royal support approval with one link for a charity patronized by Prince Harry, mistakenly taking users to a Chinese porn site.
Uh-oh.
Instead of Welsh charity Dolan Cremieu, royal website, I don't know how to read Welsh. Royal web surfers were confronted with videos of couples having sex, along with flashing click-throughs to all sorts of terrible, terrible things with all sorts of different proclivities. The kind of things you'd want somebody to clear from your internet history should you pass unexpectedly. Rough thing for the royal family in the wake of everything that's been happening there, but if you were looking for something risque, royal.uk was your spot over the weekend.
Or Prince Andrew's involved.
Ugh, that's bad too.
The price of wine is expected to drop to its lowest levels in 5 years, thanks in part to a surplus. California grapes are plentiful.
Really?
This is combined with a decreased demand for wine. The millennial generation and post-millennial generation, not necessarily drawn to wine as much as they are the seltzers and the spirits.
Love our hard seltzers.
Drinkers can expect to get better value for every drop they drink, and the cheaper prices may last up to 3 years. According to Rob McMillan, who's the author of the annual State of the Wine Industry report. Okay.
Guy just gets prepped for that one thing.
He predicts that U.S. wine consumers will enjoy what he says, quote, are the best wine retail values in 20 years.
Oh.
Vineyards in Northern California began planting thousands of acres of new vines in 2016. And with more efficient harvesting methods, it's led to more bountiful harvests of grapes. Having more grapes to make wine sounds good, but there's not enough demand to support increased production. The grapes go to waste. Plus, Cameron Hughes comes in and buys them up and passes more of the savings along to you. Of course, as you know, you're saying it's possible for surplus grapes to make it to the secondary market, and then they're used for brandy or as grape concentrate, but that doesn't provide sustainable returns for growers. So it takes up to 5 years to bring wine to market from the initial planning stages, and it makes hitting future demand very complicated. And all they're saying is they overshot demand. So now they think, to bring it back into balance, California growers are going to cut down production. So then we're going to see the pendulum swing back. But for now, and maybe for the next 3 years, enjoy unprecedented wine values.
Of all flavors, all sizes and shapes, or just the California Syrahs? Or what are we talking about here?
Apparently so. I mean, look, you're talking about Napa and Sonoma, where all sorts of varietals are being grown. The other thing is, because of climate conditions changing across the globe, you have more and more arable wine growing regions with longer growing seasons, where previously, you know, the vineyards in Michigan could only grow, you know, Cabernet Franc, it can only get so hot, they can only get so much alcohol out of it, where now you're going to get it, you're going to areas in North Carolina and in Texas and upwards in British Columbia that become the new, this is the new wine areas, just because we're our planet's warming so
everything's
quickly.
Melting.
Yes,
yeah, that's what it is.
I'll be swimming.
All right, check in on this I'm Fat podcast, because this is something I can't quite get my arms around. You can now wear...
Us?
Kim... No, yes. This. You can now wear Kim Kardashian's butt, thanks to these Swedish artists.
I'm already doing that, friend.
This is why I bring it up. Scandinavian conceptual artists Ida Jansson and Simon Saren joined forces with Swedish fashion designer B.T. Carlson to debut a risque replica of Kardashian's butt at New York Fashion Week. What the Scandinavian threesome have done here is take a pair of biker shorts.
My favorite tab.
And used flexible silicone and modeled a wearable ass that is the size, shape, girth, and drop of Kim Kardashian's butt. You can now wear this to understand what it is to be her for about, I don't know, what would that take up? About a quarter of your person?
Is this the new, the sack of flour as a baby thing?
I think so. I mean, it's being modeled at New York Fashion Week.
False advertising.
Sounds like a reverse fleshlight.
It is 6 pounds.
Is that like a reverse mortgage?
Yeah, you want to get the
not
older generation.
No, it's not really at all like that.
Okay.
No, nothing like Hochberg, it, actually.
Also interested, though.
Well, goes without saying.
Well, sure, who wouldn't want to try it out? So, I ask you, you know, we saw Kim at the All-Star game. She was wearing some sort of sleeping bag. I don't know what the hell that was, but she was there.
Something out of the Billie Eilish collection.
I don't know. But there it is. You want to know what it runs you? About $450-$600, something like that.
And for a foam rubber ass?
Yes, for a foam... Well, it says a 6-pound foam rubber ass. It's a circumference of 42 inches. It's 15.3 inches across. Across the chest, my man.
I want you to wear bulls across the ass.
I don't think it would fit across my chest. Yeah, we could put a lot of things across that ass. It's a very large, large fake silicon ass that you can buy, apparently, for between $450-$600. I assume we're going to purchase one for Scorehouse.
And wear it on our face.
And then we're going to do that.
The Icelandic Penis Museum is moving. Attention. The Icelandic Penis Museum is moving.
How many boxes are marked penises in the move?
It is technically known as the Phallological Museum, but it is better known as the Penis Museum. Penis! It's going to move from its current location on Lagavigur 116.
Well, that's a good spot.
To Hafnatorg. Because, of course.
Yeah, I mean, why would you not want to be on Hafnatorg?
It was a matter of time.
Of course it was.
When you got real estate opening for the Penis Museum on Hafnatorg.
I think Hafnatorg.
An alert reporter noticed that the property at Lagavigur 116 was being put up for sale. Concerned this may mean the closure of the Penis Museum, he called the curator, Hjortu Gisli Sigurdsson.
Penis man.
Hjortur provided assurances that not only was the museum going to live on, that it was moving to a new location. At some point next month, the Icelandic Penis Museum will be located in the basement of the H&M currently at Hofnartorg and will be almost three times bigger in terms of square meterage, Hjortur explained. He added, there will be new additions to the museum, including a cafe.
So they move because size matters?
That's fantastic.
Apparently so. The Penis Museum is getting larger.
Boy, with all this new space at the Penis Museum, I could really go for a coffee while we tour the second rooms. Mm-hmm. Want to go down for a coffee? They have a cafe now. We're on Hofbetor.
Is it all penis-based or penis-shaped foods?
All kinds of penis things.
There's a whole
penis-related.
There is an Andrew Zimmern show. Mm-hmm. There is a bizarre food show that is dedicated to nothing but the consumption of various animal
good.
Penises.
I thought he was doing a show like check out this penis or something like that.
No, he's
not
seriously
a food show
different
at all.
Cultures. He travels around the world finding specialties and different cuisines that make penis.
So the Danish from downstairs last month wouldn't count.
Oh no, different museum. That was special. That made me think odd thoughts. But
yeah,
that was a different museum completely. That is the Midday Midway.
Oh, and some news. At noon, we will have
news?
Joe Cowley.
Oh, cool.
At noon. We have rescheduled the appearance of one Joe Cowley. Dan and I are staying on to do Lawrence's show. He's out today.
Yeah, we are.
We are in. We're going to have a conversation with Shahad of Sharma in the 11 o'clock.
Also moving to Hofnartorg.
You got to move to Hofnartorg.
We got more giveaways,
he's getting
too.
Bigger.
We have tickets to see The Masked Singer live at the Rosemont Theater on June 5th.
Which may or may not be Mike Mulligan.
Right.
We don't know.
It's possible because we know Chaka Khan was one of the previous Masked Singers, right?
I think so.
We put the mask back on.
The episode lasted an hour
and
a half.
Turn the mic off. The unamplified singer. And we also have a pair of suite tickets for Monster Jam Triple Threat 3 at Allstate Arena on February 29th that includes food and beverage. Tom Ricketts is getting ready to talk. Mm-hmm. We should have some news coming out of there. And apparently Kyle Schwarber just spoke to reporters.
Is that right?
Responding to the stuff we played from Javier Baez.
Well.
So that has already advanced. We should turn that around.
We'll do that. Bernstein and McKnight on the score.
The Text Zone is brought to you by Rosen Hyundai of Algonquin. Save time. Shop online at rosenhyundai.com.
Hi, it's Jamie, Progressive number one, number two employee. Leave a message at the... Hey, Jamie. It's me, Jamie. This is your daily pep talk. I know it's been rough going ever since people found out about your a cappella group, Mad Harmony, but you will bounce back. I mean, you're the guy always helping people find coverage options with the Name Your Price tool. It should be you giving me the pep talk. Now get out there, hit that high note, and take Mad Harmony all the way to nationals this year! Sorry, it's pitchy.
Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
How much money are you paying in interest on your credit cards every month? I got the answer for you, and it's too much. You need to consolidate your credit cards into one payment at a lower fixed rate and start saving money. You think, well, how do I do that? Well, it's easy. A credit card consolidation loan from Lightstream. Rates are as low as 5.95% APR with auto pay. Think how much lower that is than the national average interest rate on credit cards. It's over 20% APR. So all of that is your savings. When you get a loan from $5,000 to $100,000, absolutely no fees. You get your money as soon as the day you apply. You do it right from your phone. And Lightstream believes that people with good credit deserve a better loan experience. It is exactly what they deliver. Here's what one very happy customer had to say. I heard about Lightstream through a radio show, and I'm so glad I had the courage to reach out and try the service. Top-notch customer support and service, streamlined process, and no issues or regrets. Find out for yourself by going to lightstream.com/Dan B. Because if you go there, you can apply to get a special interest rate discount and save even more. The only way to get the discount is lightstream.com/Dan B. LightStream.com/Dan B.
Subject to credit approval. Rate includes 0.50% auto pay discount. Terms and conditions apply and offers are subject to change without notice. Visit lightstream.com/Dan B for more info.
What do you want most in your truck driving career? Does your current company offer it? Schneider offers the best combination of the five things every driver wants. Top-notch pay and benefits. Home time your way for every stage of life. Respect for you and your time, including 24/7 support. The widest variety of driving jobs for all experience levels. And stability. Schneider's 85 years strong. Get what you want out of your driving career at SchneiderJobs.com. That's SchneiderJobs.com.
Thanks for streaming The Score. Chicago Sports Radio 670.
Bernstein and McKnight, 9 a.m. to noon on The Score.
Honest to God, I have to remind myself that David Ross is the manager of this team. Why? Because they haven't done anything. Because what will David Ross do with this team? The first questions you asked about David Ross as manager the moment he retired are the same questions now as they were then.
Listen to Bernstein and McKnight, 9 to noon on Sports Radio 670 The Score, a radio.com sports station.
Show Transition, the raw show interaction you've come to love on The Score. It starts at 9 a.m. between Mully and Hawk.